So good morning again. Welcome to Sunday School. We're going to be talking about priorities for Christian living. There are five important things that I want to talk about. They're important to us. Number one is God. Secondly, family. Thirdly, church and ministry, what you do for the Lord. Fourthly, job. And fifthly, maybe surprisingly, I put entertainment. Entertainment would not be number five on a complete list of priorities, probably for any of us, or I hope for any of us. But for many, it is exalted to a place of prominence in our priority list. So we want to be careful that we talk about this just for the sake of trying to get it in its place. Did the priorities that I just mentioned, the order of them change? Do the list of priorities change? Well, let me ask you, does the Bible change? So biblical priorities, if we prioritize things that are familiar to each of us and part of all of our lives, those things that God has spoken of in His Word, they don't change. Right is always right. Wrong is always right. It has been forever, okay, since the beginning of time, because our God does not change. The moral laws of God still stand. It's still wrong to lie. It's still wrong to commit adultery. It's wrong to do things that God has forbidden in His Word. And so we need to think, as we think of priorities, we need to think of what God says about these things. And so to begin with, we will take number one. Our highest priority, would you agree, should be God. He's far ahead of number two. God is a priority. Our Heavenly Father should be the first object of our love and our devotion. Do you agree with that? First, He's number one. Above everything else, God is number one. Matthew 22:37, and all of these verses are on your paper, and for the reason of not having to turn, because we have a lot to cover. Jesus said unto them, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind." So we're supposed to love God with all that we are. I don't know that we're all there yet, right? I should say altogether there yet. We're not all that we should be in terms of loving God, because we have lots of other things that we like, that we love, lots of other things. So we have to maybe have to work a little bit to keep God in His place. Christ, as the head of the church, should have preeminence, so says the Scripture, Colossians 1:18. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have preeminence. Christ is the most important person in our lives. Do you agree? The Bible says that, doesn't it? He has first place. Now that means a whole lot, doesn't it? If He is first in our life, then He's going to be considered above everybody else. Everybody else on the face of the globe, your relationship to Christ, it far exceeds our relationship even to family, to our spouses, to our children. Our relationship with Christ needs to be first. And that will be best for our family and our children if our relationship with Christ is first. The things, number three here, or letter C, the things pertaining to our God should be more important than things pertaining to the world. Do you agree? Well, you should, because it's biblical, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then it says, all these things shall be added unto you, the things being food and shelter and clothing and the things of life that are necessities of life. God's going to take care of those things if we'll put Him first. That's what Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33 says. So God is our first priority, and we must realize that He's infinitely more important than number two. Do you agree? It's not a close second. God's way above the whole list of priorities, everything other than Himself. If we combine all of the other priorities collectively, they would still not measure up to the value. They would pale away in insignificance compared to our relationship to God and bringing glory to God. So God's big number one in our life, if our priorities are right. Anything we might put ahead of God, even for a moment, takes His place and becomes a God in our life. You say, well, I would never do that. Now think, for a matter of time, is there anything more important than God right now than you? Then is there anything more important to you than God for the week of vacation? For the week of traveling? For a job promotion? Is there ever anything more important to you than God? Now, that doesn't mean you can't think of other things, right? You can think of other things. You can do other things. That doesn't mean it's more important than God. So you have to do a little soul searching here. What's the most important thing to you while you're at work? What's the most important thing to you while you're on vacation? Is it your relationship to God? It takes its place above all else, above activities, above money, above material stuff, above a person, your loved ones, even family, ministry, job, entertainment, even these other things. God takes His place above those things. Think of it. A close second could be distracting, couldn't it? A close second priority could be distracting. William H. Henson tells us why animal trainers carry a stool when they go into the cage of a lion. They have their whips, of course, and they have pistols by their side, but invariably they also carry a stool. Did you ever wonder that? Or a chair? And they're poking it in the face of this lion. Henson says it's the most important tool of the trainer. He holds the stool by the back and thrusts the legs toward the face of the wild animal. Those who know maintain that the animal tries to focus on all four legs at once. In the attempt to focus on all four, a kind of paralysis overwhelms the animal and it becomes tame, weak, disabled because its attention is fragmented. Its attention is fragmented. Is your attention ever fragmented? Well, yeah, right? Dangerous. Dangerous when it comes to putting God in first place in our life. For this reason, it's in our list of priorities, it is God. It is not God and other things. It's God only. He is supreme above everything else. We have to think of God first. We have to think of God's word first and God's things first. God's perspective of what's happening in our life has to be first. Galatians 6:14 says, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world," Paul says. "For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not." I don't know which I would choose, Paul says. "For I am at a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." The best is yet to come, because the best is in the physical and spiritual presence of our Lord Jesus and of our Father, our Heavenly Father. "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory," Colossians 3:4. And then Galatians 2:20, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I." It's not me, it's not my life, but Christ liveth in me. "And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." So there are a lot of scriptures that speak of the preeminence of God in our life and our love. He is the object of our love and the object of our devotion. First of all, always, forever. And so it is with the various activities and responsibilities that we have to focus on. It'll be like that stool that the lion tamer uses. Those other things can fragment our attention. God is first, and there is no closed second. Now, we sing that a lot. The Lord is my life. Jesus is all the world to me. Only Jesus. There's all sorts of hymns. That's what the hymn writer had in mind when he wrote or she wrote those things. So remember, if your talk and your walk are not exactly the same, if you agree with this, but that's not how you live, that makes you a liar and sort of like a hypocrite because you're not doing what you believe. You say one thing and live another. But we're still creatures on earth, you might argue. We're creatures on earth, and in Christ there's a lot to be done. A lot to be done, so we still have need of prioritizing. Because though God is far ahead of number two on our priority list, we still have a list. Which one do we do first? How do we arrange these priorities? So, let's talk about another family. While dying before Jesus actually took care of himself, he was about to say, I thirst. But before he did that, while he was dying, he wanted to take care of his mother in John chapter 19, verse 26, where it says, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, that would be John, he said unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then said he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, he said, I thirst. And very shortly, in a matter of minutes, perhaps, he's going to give up the ghost. He's going to be done with his plan of redemption. But right in the midst of it, right in the midst of crucifixion, he takes care of dear old mom there with John. God intended for the family to be a picture of Christ. I use this a lot in marriage counseling over the years. Go to Ephesians chapter 5 and I talk to them about God intended for your marriage to be a picture. Christian marriage, a picture of Christ, the bridegroom, and the church, the bride. And so there are a lot of things that come into play in our lives. Verse 25 of Ephesians 5 says, husbands, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. He loved the church so much he gave himself for it. Skip down to verse 31 on the paper there. It says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. So there's these roles to play. If you're not playing them, you're marring God's picture. What am I trying to say? To God, to Almighty God, your family is important. Your Christian family is very important. In the context of adult children taking care of their family, perhaps their widowed mother, over in the book of 1 Timothy in chapter 5, it says, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. That's pretty strong language. It's supposed to take care of the family, the widows, I would say the disabled, the infirmed. It's important that we care and minister to our family. So family is important to God, and so should it be to me, and so should it be to you. There is much scripture to instruct us in godly family living, right? It's important to God. To neglect the family is a hideous sin of omission. It's terrible. But do some people take it too far? Do some people take it too far? The family has to do everything together. I have had people come to the church and they did not want the kids to go to Sunday school because they wanted the family to be together in that. Well, I thought, well, the kids are missing out on something, their own level. Now, granted, parents have the right to decide. There may be other circumstances that I'm not taking into account. Some people say all the learning must come from mom and dad. As long as they're at home, nobody teaches our kids anything but us. I feel sorry for the kids a little bit. Arranged marriages without the consent of the young woman. Kids should plan to stay in a close circle after they're grown. I think that there are scriptures to help to understand how God feels about those thoughts of ours. We love our families. When I raised my two boys, I was raising them to be good church members, good ministers. And there came a time when I thought to myself, I have to let go. I didn't want to. I took my son to college. I drove him to the airport in Philadelphia, and I got in my car and I cried all the way home, and then Mary Jean and I cried together. It hurt my heart. I cannot tell you how it was like losing. It was like losing my son. And I had to reckon with that. When they were born into our family, we had to have discipline in their lives, and we were teaching them what they ought to do, and we would discipline them if they didn't do it. And there was also that balancing of love. We loved them and we disciplined. Why do we discipline? We want them to do the right thing. We want them to be prepared for whatever God wants them to do. Right? We want them to be prepared for whatever God wants them to do. It may not be what I want them to do, but what God wants them to do. And so we discipline, and as they grow older, that discipline just gets less and less. It gets narrower and narrower, and the love grows more and more, and their knowledge of Jesus Christ grows more and more, until at the end of that time that I'm responsible for my kids, they love the Lord and they know the Lord, and I don't need to discipline them. They discipline themselves. That's ideal parenting. And what are we getting them ready for? We're getting them ready to leave. That's the truth. Oh, God might call them to serve in the church that you attend, or He may call them to be missionaries in some place on the other side of the world. For me, it's over 1,000 miles away. I have 9 grandchildren now. One of them I never met yet. And honestly, it's hard. It's hard. But it's still right. They're where God put them. And I'm where God put me. And one of these days we'll be together again. Mature, in glorified bodies in the presence of the Lord, and we'll talk about old times. I'm trying to do this so I don't hurt anybody's feelings. I have feelings too. But right still right and wrong still wrong. You can disagree if you want, but do it with your Bible open. Okay? Do it with your Bible open. Family is not to be worshipped. It's not to be idolized. It's not God's institution or His agency through which He will carry out His kingdom purposes or His plan for the age. That would be the church, the body of Christ, which they grow up to be a part of from as early as they can understand. Part of the body of Christ to do the work of Christ, and from a local setting involved in the body of Christ in their locale. Our highest priority for family should be to be teachers of our children and our grandchildren about priorities. Our greatest responsibility as parents is help them get the right priorities. If they have the right priorities, they'll do okay too. But you know, we'll have to have the right priorities first, granddad and grandmom, don't we? If our priorities are not right, theirs won't be either. What's wrong with America? What's wrong with the world? We failed. Where? Family first. A relationship with God, yes, but family, in terms of human things, we failed in our family. We're raising generations. Now, generations, not one on our heels, but generations back, people who are biblically illiterate. They don't know God. They don't know the Bible. They don't want to know God. If you talk to them, they're going to call you names. They don't want to have anything to do with God. Our children should especially know that God is life, and life is God. You do that, you're a successful parent, a successful grandparent. And we'll teach them, in part, maybe I should say largely, in part, by our example. Our example. I don't talk to you as somebody who did everything right. I didn't. You want to talk about mistakes? I'll talk to you. I made mistakes. You made mistakes too, probably. I wish I knew all I know now when I was a young parent. But it takes experience to know what I know now. And that's a good teacher, experience. Well, I wonder sometimes why God did it that way. After we get our experience, we're done. Well, part of the reason is because if I had kids now, I'd be dead in 3 weeks probably. I don't know if I can keep up with the kids. And so he lets us have kids when we're young and energetic and we get wisdom as we go. You know, but what if we passed our wisdom off to the next generations? What if they would believe us? Then their kids would have a head start, wouldn't they? Because of grandma and grandpa's experience, wisdom. I'm telling you how it ought to work. I think what I'm telling you is God's way. This is how it ought to work. Wendell Winkler asks, what priorities will be established in your house when the following happens? We are early for the game, but late to worship. We see to it that our children do their homework, but never check to see if they did their Bible lessons and memory verses from Sunday school. They're not allowed to stay up late on school nights because it might infringe upon their schoolwork, but we're allowing them to stay up late on Saturday nights, though they attend Sunday school the next morning. We will not schedule our trips, our vacations, so as to make them miss school, but we don't worry too much about church. Personally, as a pastor, I would rather them miss school. Come to church, miss school. That would be better. It's allowable, I know. In high school, I missed 36 days a year. 36 days, one a week I missed in high school. I made the honor roll and I learned nothing. School was not important, but I'll tell you what was important then. My relationship to God. I needed church. School, I didn't need it. I could have quit before high school and known the same thing I know today. It was back in the integration of schools back in the 70s. That's why. But church is important. Church is more important than school. I'll stop with my illustrations. What are your kids' priorities? Never mind. Never mind, don't bother telling me. I'll just watch and see. You know, we can say that, right? Because it's so true. They're so transparent. Thirdly, we should talk about church and ministry. I want to pick up the tempo just a little bit, the pace a little bit. Ministry is not more important than the family. Paul noted in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, "But I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, and he that he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife." An observation, true, and I'm not going to expound upon that right now this morning, but it obviously takes time out of our work for the Lord. If I was unmarried, I could be a missionary and move every year. It wouldn't make any difference. But family changes things. And Paul's recognizing that here, and not so that people will not have families. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 4, to fail with a family is to disqualify oneself from ministry, especially pastors and deacons and missionaries. One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? If we fail with our family, we're failures. But not everything family is more important than ministry. Not everything the family does. Your family needs you. They have an immediate and real need. Someone else needs you too, and their need is also very real. Who do you go to first? Say it. The family. Go take care of the family needs first. It's important. You should go and be with your family. You're part of the body of Christ, and the body is meeting. The church is getting together, and you also have a birthday celebration for a family meeting, for a family member, going on at the exact same time. Where should you be? Now, here's where I might make people mad. What's more important? We say, well, the family. So everyday activities of the family, they have to happen while church is happening, so they're more important, so we cancel church and go to the family gathering. How's that work in your mind? You're part of the body of the Christ, the family's meeting for a birthday party, and the church is meeting to worship. Well, might as well say it. I think you ought to go to church. It would be best for the family if you came to church. Your testimony would be better to the family if you were at church rather than the birthday party. And you don't have to have a birthday party during the church time, right? You don't have to do that. So there's a little bit of shuffling that goes on in my mind. Remember, ministry is important to God. God is number one. What does He want you to do? He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Those are God's gift to the church. These individuals, these gifted individuals, why did He give them? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. And the work of the ministry to edify the body of Christ. That's what we're about here, right? The church is for Christians. Church is Christians. Let me ask you a question, or a couple of questions. If everybody were a Christian just like you, would the world be hearing about Jesus today? If everybody were a Christian just like you, would there be any Christians being edified in churches? Because that's, to a large extent, that's where a lot of our ministry happens with each other, is in church. If everybody was just like you, how would the churches be doing? I make anybody mad yet? No, you're not mad at me yet. Okay, well, let's keep going then. I'm doing all right. Job. That's not Job, that's Job. A job, what do we have jobs for? Jobs are for the purpose of taking care of our family and taking care of our ministry, meeting needs of people. Acts chapter 18, verse 1 says, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. And you know that Paul was able to work without taking money from individuals. He wanted to do that for the Lord. It was his gift to God. He deserved pay, a laborer is worthy of his hire, but he didn't take the pay. He didn't want it. Because to just preach, well, that's, he's a slave. He's a bond slave, and that's what the slave's supposed to do. But the slave doesn't have to do it to his own hurt and for nothing. And so Paul's doing the work of the ministry for nothing was his gift to God. And he said, nobody will deprive me of giving this gift. It's what I want to do. And how could he do it? He worked. He worked. Because this is true, there may be times when our jobs have to be considered in light of how they affect our family, how they affect our ministry, which come before our jobs. Or do you agree with that? Job before or after family? It's after. You're awfully slow to speak this morning. How about ministry? Job before or after what you do for the Lord? What you're gifted to do for the Lord? Huh? It's after. But we don't live that way. Most Christians don't live that way today. We say it, but we don't live it. A job that prevents you from being a father or a mother to your children is not a good job. You should quit. You have responsibilities more important than that. That doesn't sell in this world in which we live in. That's not a popular thought. A job that prevents you from doing anything that the Lord... Doing anything for the Lord... A job that prevents you from doing anything for the Lord because of time or energy is a bad job. It's not a good job. You need to get another one. Because our priorities put God ahead of those things and our ministry ahead of those things. The problem of the absentee father is one we see the results of. Ministry should not be forgotten on the job either. Luke, the beloved physician, greeteth you. Paul said in Colossians 4, the world is not hurting for full-time Christians. Christian workers. I messed up there. It's not hurting for full-time Christian workers as much as for workers who are full-time Christians. We don't need vocational Christians as much as we just need full-time Christians. Lastly, entertainment. I'm going to spend very little time here. I don't have much time left. God made us entertainable, but never commanded us to be entertained. There's nothing in there that says you need to be entertained. Soon we may consider this topic here, entertainment. That's a topic all its own. What do you want out of entertainment? I tell you, I think I can say this. Undoubtedly, it's amusement. Ah, meaning without, and amusement having to do with thought, without fault. That's what we like. We like to escape where we don't have to think. But we also ought to be wanting to have peace and joy and contentment and happiness from the things that we do, right? That would be in keeping with our other priorities and who and what we are. We better be careful. Satan might slip something in while your brain is in neutral. You turn on the play, you push the play button and your brain goes in neutral. Now you're here for amusement. And while your brain is idle and you just become a part of this world that you're not a part of, maybe a world where there is no God. Satan could slip something in right there. He could show you something that your flesh likes and would immediately grasp at. The things that we should really want out of our entertainment, like peace, joy, contentment, and happiness, those things come from God. I have verses there on your paper. I'm not going to take the time to read them together because I want to do this last little exercise. We've got four things on our list in addition to God, but there are other things, aren't there? Education, money, exercise, vacation. You can pile them on. I want to show you an exercise with this biblical foundation that we have established here. I want us to fill out this chart that I put on your paper. And so, let's just go without any comment much because of our time. There are eight things. Look up here. Did I put these on your paper? I think, did I? Okay, eight things. Your favorite movie will be on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. You're scheduled to be at work Monday through Friday. Let's say first shift. You need to get the salt off your car. You have prayer meeting on Wednesday night at church. You have promised that you will have dinner with a friend one day this week. You really would like to weed the flower garden early this year. Your mate has been feeling neglected and you should probably spend some time with them. Your neighbor is on vacation this week and you have been looking for an opportunity to share Christ with him or her. So there are eight things. Could be any eight things, okay? So you pick your own and fill out the blanks, but we'll do this together. Let me ask you to compare them. Between A and B, which would you say is most important? Between A and B. B. So we're going to fill it out like this. Okay, we're just going to fill it out. You understand how it works? A, where A intersects B. Those are the ones we're comparing. How about A and C? Which is more important? Favorite movie or get the salt off your car? C. Okay, I agree. Let's say A and let's say B and C. Scheduled to go to work, need to get the salt off the car. B, I agree. D, let's compare A and D. Favorite movie or you're having prayer meeting on Wednesday? Really? Who is this guy over here anyway? Okay, between A and, or between B and D. B and D. Scheduled to go to work, or you have prayer meeting on Wednesday. Now, don't tell me which one is more important. Is going to work or going to church more important? Huh? Going to church. Going to work or going to church? I agree that we ought to go to church. Now, we're not deciding at this point what we're doing. We're deciding what's more important. Okay? So, humor me a minute and just listen. What? Okay, there may be requirements. There may be external circumstances, and it may take the choice out of our hands. Okay, so I'll say that, but just which is more important? That's what we want to decide. How about C and D? D, okay. How about A and E? Favorite movie or promise to have dinner with a friend? E, B and E, scheduled to go to work or have dinner with a friend? Okay, now we're talking about just fellowship with a friend, a Christian friend maybe. Okay, so B or E? You said to have dinner with a friend is more important than B, going to church. I said, which is more important? Okay. So we have an E here. You can make that note if yours is different than what I have here. E and C. Have dinner or get salt off the car. Okay. D and E. Prayer meeting on Wednesday or you promise to have dinner with a friend. Which is more important? D. Okay. F, A and F. F is you really would like to weed the flower garden and your favorite movie's coming on. Okay. B and F. B and F. You're scheduled to be at work and you really need to weed the flower garden. B. C and F. You need to get the salt off the car or you really would like to weed the flower garden. I put C. D and F. We are having prayer meeting and you really need to get the weeds out of the garden. I need to not look up on this one because I'm just kidding. This is intended to cause you to think about which is important. It doesn't, I mean, some of these things you could do both. You could get all of this done, right? You could do everything here, literally, except watch your movie while prayer meeting's going on, perhaps. But you could do all of these things, but you still need to determine which is the most important thing. It'll determine how much time you spend at one thing, so you have some leftover time to get a more important thing done. This one has to come first just because of when it happens, but this one has to happen too. Okay, so don't get all bogged down. We're trying to determine what's important. What are our priorities? E and F. Dinner or weed the flower garden? E. A or G? G. B or G? Scheduled to work, your mate feels neglected. Which is more important? How many of you say G? How many of you say B? Chicken, one. You're a brave man.
You don't have a job, you can't take care of your family.
I put G. My wife's more important than my job. That's a no-brainer to me. I will miss a day of work. Right? I didn't say quit. I just said miss. I will miss a day of work if my wife needs me. Because if I fail with my wife, you're seeing my logic here. So there are ways of looking at this. But which is more important, my wife or my job? My wife. Infinitely more important. And I know Tim believes that as well. So in our minds, you know, you can have different approaches to this, but I'm trying to help. Which is more important? That's our question here. C or G? Salt off the car or a mate's not feeling? Well, G. D or G? Prayer meeting or your wife? G. E or G? G. F or G? A or H? B or H? Scheduled to work or your neighbor's on vacation, you need an opportunity to witness to him. Which is more important? I put H. I can do both, right? But H is more important. That's God and ministry before my job. You see how it changes how you think. It changes your perspective of things to just look at your priorities. C and H. Salt off the car or opportunity to witness? H. D and H. Prayer meeting or talk to the family? Or talk to your neighbor? H. My neighbor's soul. My neighbor's soul is more important than. It's more important than having prayer meeting. But they're both quite important, aren't they? I can do both. Right? I can go to prayer meeting and see my neighbor before or after. I could see my neighbor the day before. He's off for the whole week. But which is more important, the soul of my neighbor or one night in church on Wednesday? The soul of my neighbor, obviously. E or H? H. F or H? Weed the flower bed or the neighbor? G or H? Neighbor's more important than wife. Okay, I understand. I understand what you're saying. In this case, you could also do both. Right, could also do both. Is this helpful at all to you? Let me show you how this all adds up. So I can take the one with the most, and that becomes priority number one. I can just go down the line and fill that out, and my priority list looks like this in the end. My mate is feeling neglected. I think we agree that's critically important and takes precedence over anything else, because if I fail there, I fail. Secondly, your neighbor is on vacation, his soul. Now, I put that might be switched or tied with Jeff's fault on the last one, but we can handle that, can't we? C, we have prayer meeting on Wednesday. You notice it's way up there in the priority list, but not for most people because we don't have many people on Wednesday night. You're scheduled to be at work on Monday. It comes down to number four. There are things more important than work. That's what we're supposed to learn from this. E, you have promised that you will have dinner with a friend. F, you need to get the salt off the car. You need to weed the flower beds, and, oh my, that movie falls last in the priorities. Entertainment, amusement. Brothers and sisters, there could be, in your work week, you might decide to do something that I wouldn't do ahead of something that I would do, and vice versa. But I think Christians in 2023 need to consider what's most important. If we neglect to get done the most important things while we're doing the things way down there on the list, if you watch that movie instead of talk to your neighbor who's unsaved, you are absolutely wrong according to your own priorities. But I like to watch the movie, and I'm afraid to talk to my neighbor. And what does God say? Let me be mean. Get over it. Get out of the box. Trust me. Do what you're supposed to do. Do what you're supposed to do, even if it's hard, even if it's inconvenient. Put God first. Put God first in your life. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the opportunity again to share thoughts from your word. Lord, I knew and know that we might have different arranging of various things, Lord, and that's okay. Everyone has truly the liberty in Christ to do what they believe you would have them to do first. And so, Lord, I'm okay with that. And I pray that folks would know it and that we could agree, Lord, though, still, that there are priorities to the things that we have to do. And that though we might be doing things lower on our list, Lord, we should not allow the things that are high on our list of priorities to be neglected. I pray, dear God, that you would help me and my brothers and sisters to put this little exercise into use in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.